this morning? Can we? How are you? Oh, very good. There we go. Wonderful. Well, I'm glad to be here with you this morning. Our scripture lesson for this morning, if you can believe it, it's one verse long. You think you can handle it? We've come a long way from our two chapters of Noah the first time I preached, right? All right, hear these words for us this morning from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, if you're just joining us for the first time in a few weeks, or perhaps you're like me and you've slept since last Sunday and need a refresher, we are moving through a sermon series called Fishtails, where we've been talking about a certain word that starts with the letter E. Who remembers? Evangelism. And we've been talking about how that word is awesome and everybody feels super comfortable with it, right? No, I believe the terminology that we've been using is that it's a four-letter word of sorts. And the reason why is because along the way, evangelism has gotten a bad rap, okay? It's got a negative connotation. When we think about evangelism, we tend to think about street preachers or people that are really showy and perhaps demeaning and condemning and thinking that that's the way that we're going to get people in the church. Sounds like a great plan, right? No, not so much. So when we talk about evangelism, we talk about and think about street preachers. We think about maybe people in pulpits misusing their authority to meet their own agenda. We've come to understand evangelism as something that pushes people away from the church more than it invites people in. And so what we've been trying to do during this series is to break that down a little bit, to revisit what evangelism actually means for us as people of faith and as the church. We've talked about, why do people need Jesus? We've talked about, why do people need the church? And today, the tail end of the series. Thank you so much. We'll explore why people just might need this church, our church, Hilldale UMC. But before that, let's take a minute to talk about our scripture this morning. How many of y'all have heard this verse before? Show of hands, please. Was it one you remember hearing growing up, people reading to you? Maybe here or there. It's one that I know I've seen on coffee mugs and bumper stickers and other places like that. And it makes sense, right? It's short, it's sweet, it's to the point. It seems to cover a lot of ground about faithfulness in just a few words. However, I think it's important not just to look at this one verse on its own, but to note who it's attributed to, who that person is speaking to, and why. Who is Micah? Miss May and Anna Claire reminded us this morning. Generally speaking, he's a what? A prophet. Does anybody want to give us the definition of a prophet, or would you like me to supply that this morning? I'm being nice. I'm not making you participate. Okay, the uncomfortable chuckles or have the win. Okay. Put simply, a prophet is someone who speaks to God's people about God's desires and also disappointments where God's people are concerned. Question for you. Do people typically like prophets? No. Why not? Change? What else? They're honest. They're honest. Yeah, they are. Because they tend to tell us what we need to, but don't always want to hear. Amen? Heard those uncomfortable giggles again. Good, we're all on the same page. Micah is in the process of telling Israelite religious leaders who've gotten too big for their britches. Yes, that's a technical phrase. That in all of their focus on religiosity, doing things for the sake of appearing righteous, they are failing to do what it is God expects them to do. They've also seemingly forgotten all God has done and been for the people of Israel, and that God anticipates Israel will respond to God's faithfulness by how they engage with each other and with the world around them. It seems Israel's religious leaders don't care much about actually doing what God requires of them, just appearing as though they do for those who hold them in high regard. Thus, Micah the prophet's frustration and condemnation of Israel's religious elite.
One biblical commentary puts this frustration this way. Micah expressed disdain for the corruptions and the pretensions of Jerusalem and its leaders. Micah condemned religious practice untethered from ethical performance. Y'all know that saying, don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk? Yes? Okay, very good. Just make sure you're still awake. The lack of walking is exactly what Micah finds himself frustrated with, is what is fueling his fiery prophetic instruction and warnings to Israel's people throughout the book attributed to him. Because there's a whole lot of talk coming from those seen as having religious authority within the Israelite community and very little, if any at all, follow through. Throughout the book of Micah, we see the prophet serve as the mouthpiece to God's people about God's anger and disappointment regarding the lack of spiritual integrity among them. Micah's response to this lack of spiritual integrity, to this apparent surplus of ignorance among God's people about their responsibility to embody some semblance of the faithfulness God first showed them, is encapsulated in our key verse for this morning. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Scholar Andrew Foster Connors breaks it down like this. God desires more than empty words. Let me say it again for the people in the back. God desires more than empty words. Amen. Connors goes on to say, God desires justice that is measured by how well the most vulnerable fare in the community. A loyal love that corresponds with the kind of loyal love God has shown toward Israel, and a careful walking in one's ethical life. In other words, God expects our faith will be comprised of more than words coming out of our mouths meant to convince others we are faithful, but that our faith will be embodied in such a way that how we love our spiritual kin in this life will leave no life unchanged, including our own. Because we know that's part of the faith process, right? We do not stay the same. Thanks be to God. God expects that we as God's people will personify a faith that does not merely talk, but walks. Yep, you guessed it. Humbly and justly and mercifully as we seek to lead lives aligned with God's intention and God's imagination for creation. You want to know who does a good job of leading lives aligned with God's intention and imagination for creation? You want to know who does not just talk the talk, but who humbly and justly and mercifully walks the walk of faith? You can say it. Okay, sorry, didn't set that up very well. Hilldale UMC, let's say it together, all right? Hilldale UMC walked, y'all thought that was really funny. It's true. And I'm about to tell you why. Allow me to remind you of just a few reasons. Let me remind you why our church, the one that we were hesitant to name as people who walk the walk of faith, even though you do it so well, might just be the place for your friends, for family members, for coworkers or acquaintances longing for a church home, where they will be welcomed as they are, as part of God's transformative work in the world, and be loved by God's people who believe in showing up for one another when it really counts. Sit back and buckle up, my friends. This is going to be good. When it comes to acting justly, to being aligned with God's definition of justice by caring for the most vulnerable of our spiritual kin, allow me to name just a few of the missional efforts and those who lead us in those efforts here at Hilldale UMC. Amy Dillon and the countless Hilldale volunteers who help make Operation Christmas Child possible. Mae Wiggins, Frank Wilson, and Darlene Stark, who help with Good Neighbors. Frank and Pat Wilson and other Hilldale volunteers who help with the Fuel Supplemental Food Ministry to CMCSS students. The Hilldale's Women's Canasta Group, who supports Mittens for Manna Cafe. Nancy Luder, Judy Cloud, and Melanie Mosier, among other Hilldale volunteers who help with urban ministries. Robin Brumbly and the other Hilldale volunteers who help with Project Transformation. And when it comes to loving mercy, to loyal love, to caring for and tending to the covenant between God and God's people, Hilldale UMC doesn't just talk about it. Again, you guys live it. Kathy Lunsford, Mae Wiggins, and Robert Bryant visiting and taking Holy Communion to our church family members who cannot physically come be with us on Communion Sunday. Janice Kelly making sure every single person who enters our doors on Sunday morning feels welcome, as well as making sure we're all in the know about the physical and spiritual needs of our church family members. The nearly 30 Hilldale UMC volunteers I've met with who want to help care for the development, the nourishment, and the flourishing of our children, youth, and young adults' relationships with Jesus Christ. All right, friends, this is where I get to give personal testimony to Hilldale UMC's intentional and ingrained ways of loyal love as part of our community's identity. Cue watching every single person I've interacted with in the past 2 months cringe and hold their breath as they brace themselves for what I'm about to say. In May of this year, Beau, my husband, and I were slightly panicked about where our family would live once we got word we'd be moving to Clarksville to start our new appointments later in the summer. We had initially planned to just fake our way through finding a place to live until someone recommended we get in touch with Chris Hodges. Best decision we could have made. Chris worked tirelessly to help us look at homes that met our criteria, and before you say, well, yeah, that's his job, let me be clear. We are millennials. We cannot afford to buy a house. We're renting, which means that Chris chose to work for free for people he did not know at the time simply because he knew we needed help that he could give. He took time out of his schedule and made more work for himself because that's what kind of guy he is. Not only did he help us find our home, but he gave us our first glimpse at the people who would make Clarksville feel like home. His heart is a great representation of the hearts here at Hilldale. Like that of Dr. Jessica Morris, for instance. Within 5 minutes of meeting her, I learned that we share a similarity that neither of us would wish on anyone, and that we are both mothers of children with life-threatening food allergies. She assured me she would help me figure out places that were safer for our family to eat and to visit in town, but that was only the beginning. From there, she went above and beyond for our family, making sure our welcome reception was safe for the kids, as well as putting the beginning of policies in place so that my kids would be safe when they come to church with me on Sunday mornings. In our short time knowing each other, Jessica has taught me the importance of advocating for my kids in the way she advocates for them, simply because she wants them to be safe and feel loved and cared for when they are here. I could not ask for a better example of fierce, loyal love that echoes God's love for them. And I know I'm not telling you anything you don't already know when I say Nikki and Stephen Sauls are in the business of loyally loving their church family. Wouldn't you agree? A couple of weeks ago, our daughter Margaret Claire suffered an anaphylactic allergic reaction. We had to spend some time in the Sango ED after we administered her brother's EpiPen. It was a whirlwind of emotions, as you can imagine, from the reaction itself to navigating a new hospital setting, to being somewhere away from people who've come to understand this as our family's reality over the past 6 years of ministry, and everything in between. Things eventually settled down, and we heard a knock at the door. We opened it, surprised to find Stephen and Nikki standing there. I hear you out there. He's your pastor. Of course they came. Correction, my loves. He's not my pastor. He's my colleague and supervisor of sorts, yes. Pastor, no. He did not have to come. So it was in that moment that we realized that the Sauls are people we would call friends in this new ride of life in Clarksville. And it was also in that moment that I realized your pastor and his family don't just talk the talk of faith, they walk the walk as well. Not for pats on the back or accolades, but just because they're people who want to loyally love people the way God so loyally loved and loves all of us first. So you see, I'm the one who needed to preach this sermon today, not just because it's Communion Sunday and I preach shorter sermons than Pastor Stephen, but that's definitely part of it. No, it's because I'm still new here. I'm still getting adjusted. I don't have to tell you what you want to hear. I'm telling you my own experience as someone who's new to this community. I'm still learning my way around Hilldale UMC, and yet, at every single turn, in every single interaction, I am met with people who reflect back to me God's own love through humble walking that does the talking. No gimmicks, no tricks, no fronts, just a bunch of folks who earnestly want to work for God's justice to become a reality here and now. Who want to engage and further God's merciful, loyal love, and who make those desires a reality by humbling themselves to walk with God wherever God leads them, wherever God calls them to go. With qualities like that, why wouldn't we want everyone we know to come be a part of what God is doing at Hilldale UMC? Thanks be to God. Amen.